Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Today I want to talk about the man named Samson in the Bible. And it feels right on a Father's Day to talk about the strongest man that's recorded in the Bible, the man that God had this unbelievable plan and empowered him to do feats of strength that were unbelievable. And I'm going to get into that, but I'm going to start by getting a bit of a snapshot near the end of his life where it feels like everything has completely shifted for Samson. Judges chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He woke up from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he didn't know that the Lord had left him. And then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him in bronze shackles, and they set him to grinding grain in the prison." So here is a man who God has this unbelievable, powerful anointing on his life, but here we see him an absolute shelled version of that reality. Now, that this message is maybe going to lean towards the man because it's Father's Day, but this is for every single one of us. God has plan, God's got purpose, but sometimes we find ourselves like Samson, feeling like we've lost our strength and we're so far from God's original intention for us. And you might think to yourself, man, what happened? How did Samson get to this place, the strongest man, and all of a sudden he's weak and powerless and being taken away, eyes gone, and just a pretty difficult situation. I think we can see ourselves there from time to time. Maybe even on the outside, things look fine. You know, when his strength was gone, Samson, I'm sure his muscles didn't instantly shrink in the moment. So from the exterior, maybe sometimes things look okay, but inside, the strength is gone. It feels like the passion's gone. It feels like the energy has just absolutely left you. And I think the stats of suicide and depression and all those types of things are unbelievable signs and byproducts of the strength being sucked out of our lives. And when men find themselves in the hopeless states that they're in, when they find themselves facing bankruptcy or failures or brokenness in different kinds, or feeling like they screwed up in some area of parenting or being a husband or just being a friend, we can end up feeling like the life gets sucked out of us and find ourselves like Samson, powerless in the moment, feeling like we don't have any strength anymore. I want to talk about how to get your strength back. We're going to get to it, but the story doesn't end with those verses I just read. I want to talk about how do we get our strength back. Before we do that, let's get a little bit of the backstory of Samson's life. When we go back to a couple chapters to Judges chapter 13, we see at the beginning where God is originally formulating this miracle story that's about to unplay with the young boy Samson. So in Judges chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless and unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son.'" I'm going to continue to read in a second, but as I was praying for this morning, I really do feel like that's a word of the Lord for somebody. As somebody who's feeling that that's been a struggle, and you're wanting to have kids, but it's been a constant challenge, and even Father's Day and Mother's Day tends to be such a weight on you. I just feel like this is a word. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a child. Amen? Verse 4 says, now see to it that you drink no wines, talking to mom here to prep for the baby coming, or other fermented drink, and that you don't eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb, and he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistine. So we have a pretty epic start to Samson's life and to Samson's story. There's a miracle that's to take place of a woman who has had such a difficult time with infertility, and now all of a sudden an angel comes. You're going to have a child. It's going to be incredible. And then he kind of gives some directives about Samson's life, and he's got a great purpose, and I need you to have him set apart. He can't cut his hair, and there's some different things that was a signal and a statement of being dedicated fully and wholly to God. And so this is all in playing, and it's unbelievable, and this child is growing up, and the word of the Lord comes to fruition, and the son is born, and God begins to develop the strength of this child. And as Samson grows, God begins to use him in different ways to begin to fight against the oppression of the Philistines over God's people. And we get a little snapshot of his power in Judges chapter 15, verse 14. This is later on in his life. It says, as he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. And then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on Samson. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Okay, so that's pretty hardcore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, geez, you know, this dude just whoops 1,000 dudes with a donkey's jawbone. I mean, that's next level to me. You know, and recently, somebody made a enactment of the story of Samson. I don't know if any of you guys saw that. Anyone see the movie Samson? Okay, nobody watches Christian movies. That's cool. That's cool. Anyone seen Game Night? Just checking Salvation. No, Game Night's funny, kind of. There's parts, you know. I don't feel like you can ever freaking endorse any movie now. Jeez. Come on, we need everyone to actually go see Christian movies so we have more money to make better Christian movies. Come on, somebody. I mean, not that we need it to be officially a Christian movie, but we need movies that bring God's kingdom to earth. Amen? Anyways, this was an interesting depiction of it, because a lot of times we forget how many 1,000 dudes is. You know what I mean? You're just saying, like, okay, cool, Samson killed 1,000 guys. We read over that like it's nothing. Like 1,000 dudes at once, he takes them out. So in this movie, it kind of gives you a better visual of like, wow, how many 1,000 actually is. Like, that is just an onslaught, and the power of God is flowing through Samson, and he completely takes out this group of 1,000 dudes. So here we go. We see him at his height of his strength, God using him. He's in his purpose. He was from birth designed to be someone to bring freedom from the oppression of God's people. And here he is. He's in his zone. He's in his moment. He's fighting for God's people. He's bringing freedom to God's people. So what happens between that scenario and then the scenario we see where he finds himself without power, without strength, without his eyes, and bound and now in complete servitude? It's such a drastic contrast. So I want to talk about, I think, the two things that we notice in his story of how he lost his strength and how we can get it back, okay? Two things that I think are indicators of how Samson lost his strength. The first one is this. His strength left him because he had a loss of his covering, the loss of covering. In Judges 16, we're kind of the story that many people think of Samson as Samson and Delilah, right? It's kind of a bad situation that's unfolding with him and the prostitute Delilah. Him and he's getting caught up in that. He's off track in that. And I think sometimes it's not an excuse for it at all, but I think sometimes we focus on that. But he's really spiraling out of control in a response to a lot of brokenness and tragedy in his own life with his first wife. So he had married a woman that he fell in love with, And then it was illegally, she was taken away from him and given to somebody else. It was just this total Jerry Springer situation going on. And now Samson finds himself kind of spiraling really relationally, on the rebound, kind of drowning his sorrows in this other relationship, and falls in love with this girl, Delilah, who's a prostitute, but it kind of develops beyond that. And as they're building this relationship, the Philistines find out what's going on, and they begin to pay her off to say, hey, listen, figure out the secret to Samson's strength. We got to figure it out. We can't defeat the guy. He's so powerful. What do we got to do to get this guy to a spot where we can take him out, where we can get the secret to his strength? So she continues to say, come on, Samson, tell me. Don't you love me? Don't you love me? Tell me the secret to strength. He keeps lying to her, and then he like kills fools when they try to break in, when he's like handcuffed, and nothing ever works because he's so strong. And so she's finally like giving him the ultimate sob story. And one of the most powerful things to a man is a woman crying, right? And so Samson is completely like, okay, I better give this girl what she wants, tell her the secret to my strength. And says, man, if you cut my hair, if my hair gets cut, I'll be as weak as any man. And the reality is, when his hair gets cut, when he gives up his covering, he loses his strength. When he gives up his covering, he loses his strength. And in our lives today, when we get out of the covering that God gave us, we become powerless. We become weak. And that's one of the biggest traps of the enemy, is to lure you and I out of the covering God ordained for us and get us into a space where we're susceptible to get taken out by the enemy, where we're powerless to the attempts of the enemy on our life. He'll lure us into those places. And what would be the covering? What exactly am I talking about? I would say it's the Word of God. It's what God has said to us. It's the truth of God's Word. And whenever I get my life outside of the truth of God's Word, I open my life up to an onslaught of the enemy in my life. But when I stay underneath the covering of the truth of God's Word, I walk underneath the power and protection of that. Amen? So Samson finds himself in a compromising situation that ultimately leads to him giving up his covering, ultimately leads to him abandoning the will and the purpose of God for his life, and now here he is, weak and powerless in a messed up situation. You know, I think a lot of times we can find ourselves in those positions as well, right? Sin, temptation. Every single one of us are very familiar with those realities, right? Nobody in here is perfect. I wish we were. But even the sweetest grandma ain't perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all got issues. We all got sin. We all got drama. We all got places where we've missed it. Some of y'all are saying, but you don't know my grandma, and she is perfect, okay? All right, maybe there's one grandma like that. I don't know, but we all have these deals where we can get tripped up, where we can allow temptation to rob us of our strength and get us off course and get us chasing things that we were never meant to chase. And you know what? I think that one of the biggest lies of the enemy is once you and I sin, and sin is just anything that is outside of God's word, right? When I do something that breaks a relationship with what God has said, that's when I'm sinning, right? So anytime I find myself in sin, then the enemy loves to just work that angle so hard, right? As soon as I mess up, then the enemy's right in my ear, and maybe you've heard him talk like this, oh man, you're done now. You're done. This is it. God's finished with you. Oh man, you can't even stand strong against that. Oh, you can't even, you know, live strong against this tent. You can't give into that. Oh man, I thought you were a man. I thought you were a strong woman. I thought you had the ability to, oh man, you're nothing now. And now, by the way, you've also screwed up your future. Everything is done. You might as well forget it because God's probably washed up with you anyways. And these thoughts can get into our head to feel like I'm nothing, I'm worthless. When you start thinking and the enemy works that shame on you like that, you literally become like Samson. You were strong, but you just get weak. You just get weak. I know when I've been in sin, when I'm in those moments where I've messed up and I haven't done what's right, man, you just feel like an ant could take you out. Doesn't it, when you're in that moment where you feel broken and you feel like you've wronged God and his way and his word, and you just so beat up and so weighed down by your sin, and you just go, man, am I ever going to amount to anything? Could God ever use my life? And I just feel like, well, I might as well give up, right? That's a pretty common response to sin. And here's the good news, though. We don't have to be perfect to still walk in the strength of God. And let me explain it. Psalm 32, because this is kind of a depressing moment right now if I don't read some of these other verses. You're like, well, I guess my whole life sucks now. This is great. Thanks, Samuel. Where's Chris? Let's bring him back. Somebody go raise that guy up out of his sick bed and replace this guy quick. All right. Psalm 32, verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. How good is that? How good is that? Instead of covering up your sin, open it up to God and allow Him to cover you, right? We try to cover it up and hold it down, but that is the exact opposite response you and me need to take when we've messed up. See, God knows us, and He knows where we're at and knows that we're not always going to be perfect. But when we come back to Him and confess our sin, you know what? I'm by far not perfect. A lot of areas of my life I'm continuing to work on and develop. And sin becomes a hang-up and a catch-up for me just like anybody else. But one of the things I fight to do is that when I mess up, that I am quick to expose that sin to the light. I'm going to text Pastor Matt. I'm going to text some of my other buddies. I'm going to be like, listen, here's where I'm at. Pray for me. Here's what's going on. Here's the temptation coming at me. Here's where I've crossed the line. Come on. You guys might be perfect. I still sin, okay? But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to let the enemy keep me down, right? I'm not going to stay in that place. I am going to acknowledge my sin. And I'm not going to cover up my iniquity. I'm going to confess my transgressions to the Lord, and He's going to forgive my sin. And here's the good news about that, is that we don't have to be perfect to walk in strength, but we have to be submitted to God's way, right? And even if I'm not perfect, I can still be in a submitted posture. King David did some unbelievably crazy things, yet he was called a man after God's heart. Why? Because he was responsive to God when he spoke. He kept returning to a humble position to say, God, I've messed up. Please forgive me. I want to do what's right. I want to honor you. And I love in James 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. A lot of people are getting beat up by the devil because we don't got the first part, right? Because I'm outside of the covering of God. I'm trying to do it my own way. And God says, listen, submit yourself to God. Bring your life back into alignment. This isn't meant to be a beat down of someone who feels like you're currently in sin. This is a little bit of a lifeline of hope. You don't got to stay there. God loves you, and if you realign your life back under submission to God's will and God's way, He will restore your strength. Amen? Amen? How many thankful for the grace of God and the power of God? Strength always flows from your covering. Always flows from your covering, okay? So the second way that Samson's strength got messed with is from the loss of vision. The first thing that happened to him, once they bound him up, it says they seized him and they gouged his eyes out and then they took him, right? So they seized him and then they gouged out his eyes. So one of the main tactics of the enemy is to steal our vision. If he can steal our vision, he steals our strength. There's something about us that he gets immobilized when we lose vision that God has given us. When we lose sight of the plan and the purpose that God has for our life. You see, they knew right away, like, what's one of the key ways we can immobilize this guy? Get his eyes out. Because then he's just going to be swinging frantically. We'll be able to have the upper hand on this guy. Let's kill this guy's vision as quick as possible so that we can subdue him. And what happens is, in our life, we find ourselves subdued and strength gone because the vision has left our life in some way, shape, or another. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation or there's no vision, people cast off restraint, right? When I lose vision, when I lose sight of where I'm supposed to go, man, I just get off the rails. My life gets out of order. My life gets in chaos when I've lost sight of what God really had intended for me to do. You know, oftentimes, when you find a man especially who's going off the rails, and that could mean a variety of things. Typically, you could trace it back to they've lost the sense of purpose of why they are here, what they're about. They've lost the vision. They've lost their focus as far as what God wants to do in and through their life. And when I get off course of my vision, man, then I get powerless. Something happens in my life where I lose strength. And, you know, that can happen in many ways. Maybe you've experienced an unbelievable, maybe failure in business potentially, huge loss, market crashes, maybe marriage, whatever the situation might be, you find yourself from disappointments and fears that have shut you down, that have gotten you started going, man, I used to have this vision. I used to have a passion. I used to believe that God would do this. I used to aspire to this, but now you're just kind of going through the motions. You're a shell of the man or the woman that God originally intended. And one of the things, especially with men, is the sense of work that God has put on the inside of us. We have been designed to achieve. We've been designed to create. We've been designed to build, to accomplish, and to take territory. And most of the time, when we forget that stuff, when we get off track of what we are designed to create and do with our lives, that's when we start losing the plot, right? I remember Pastor Jürgen relaying a story that him and Pastor Phil had about, you know, how do you stay pure and in your marriage and in ministry? And Pastor Phil said, it's actually super simple. And I can't reenact the two Australian accents having that conversation. Maybe you could come up and help me. I don't know. But he's like, well, I've never heard anyone say it's simple to stay pure. And he said, well, number one, you know, sleep with your own wife. Okay, that's good. I like that. Good advice. Spend your own money. That's good. And then build buildings. And it's that third one that's a unique one that many times people don't think about. But especially as men, if you don't have a challenge that you're taking ground on, you get way too much time on your hands. And you get all distracted in getting every which way but what God wants you to do. And so a lot of times that vision, that loss of vision, get back to taking ground. Get back to building buildings. Get back to taking the territory that God had for you. Amen? Sometimes we got to remember what God said to us. Life has a way of beating us down from time to time where we lose sight of what we're really called to do and who we are. And so we have to remember, we've got to go back to the beginning of what did God say and what has God spoken. And a great example of that is another man named Abraham. In Genesis 13, God, verse 14, he gives him this great vision. And his name is still Abram at this time. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him, look around from where you are, to the north, the south, north campus, south campus, east campus, west campus. All the land that you see, everyone say see, I will give to you. How important is vision? How important is what we see, right? I'm going to give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that if anyone could count the dust, which I'm pretty sure is impossible, right? Then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land. I am giving it to you, right? I love that. That's awesome. But then there's a little thing we like to call time that happens from this original word from God to him actually walking in it. And what happens is Abraham and Sarah, they lose the plot, man. They lose vision. They're discouraged. They got infertility. They got drama. They got challenge. And they lose the focus of what God had said. And they start creating random plan Bs and Cs all the way to plan C, Z. It gets bad. I mean, it gets real bad. I mean, Sarah can't have a kid, so she comes up with a crazy idea. She says, Abraham, here's the deal. Sleep with my assistant, and maybe God's going to, you know, build your family line through her. And he goes, all right. Heads up, guys. If your wife ever suggests something like that, it's a trap. Don't do it. Don't do it, guys. It's not a good plan, and it goes real bad. It goes super, super bad, okay? Stay the course. Stay focused on the vision, right? So they get off track, and then God has to bring them back again. In Genesis, later on then in chapter 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you do? What can you give me since I remain childless? And no one who will inherit my the one who's going to inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my house will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. That's where God's sarcasm comes in. I love it. Why don't you count those, Abraham, if you can? I love it. I love it. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You're going to see God comes back to Abraham and says, Abraham, look again. It's time to look up again. It's time to see again. It's time. You've gotten distracted. You've gotten broken. You've gotten discouraged. You've lost the vision. But you need vision again, Abraham. You've got to see. Let me show you one more time. Let me give you a picture one more time that I'm not done with you. I've not forgotten you. I've not left you. But look again. How good is that? And you know what? No matter where you find yourself right now, strength is going to flow from the vision that God has given you. And God wants to restore that again. Maybe you've downgraded the vision in your mind because it seems impossible. Time to look again. Time to pray again. Time to believe again. Time to see again. I'm going to invite the band to come up and help me close it out here. Give the people hope. Father's Day lunch. Come on, somebody. You know that's serious. You don't play with Father's Day lunch. Good God, help. That legit scared me. Somebody pray for me. Wow. I was feeling so brave preaching on Samson till that moment. Ah, God. I look like a freaking child up here all of a sudden. Come back, strength. Look again. Okay. So I'm thankful that the story ends a little bit better for Samson. And let's watch the redemption story. So it says that they, you know, they gouge out his eyes, they bind him, they put him to tread the grain. And then verse 22 is one of those verses of hope. Judges 16:22 says, but the hair, he had cut off his hair, said, but the hair on his head began to grow again. Come on. How good is that? After it had been shaved, it began to grow again. Man, no matter what you're facing, strength can grow again. It can come back again. It says, now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands. The one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. You see, while Samson was in that prison time, even though it was a dark time, for a lot of reasons in his life, even though his eyes literally in the natural sense had been plucked out, it was like vision began to grow again in Samson. It was like strength had begun to grow again. He returned to his devout commitment to God and to his will, and he remembered again why he was there in the first place. Vision came back even though his eyesight wasn't there. Vision restored. In his spirit and his heart, it began to grow again. And here he is in the temple with all these people taunting him. And it says that they put him in, you know, where the pillars are, in his right hand on one pillar and his left hand on the other. And then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more. and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson reached toward the center pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. It's maybe not your favorite way to kind of end a story, but it was a return of his declaration of his purpose, because he knew what he was there to do, to free his people. It says, then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed more when he died than even when he had lived. Strength returned to Samson again. Not because he got his physical eyes back, but because he got vision back, because his covering returned, because he submitted himself to God again. God empowered him and gave him strength again. Amen. I don't know where you're at, but God wants to bring strength back. Come on, God's going to renew some strength this morning. God's going to build us back again. No matter where it is, strength can grow again. It can come back again. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for everyone in the room who just say, man, I need some fresh strength. And actually, what I want to do is I want to pray for everybody, but specifically, I want to just ask all the men in the house, if you'd stand to your feet, I want to pray for you. I want to pray over you. Just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the presence of God. He's going to bring things alive again that you thought were dead. He's going to restore sight that has been felt like it's been hindered for so long. God is renewing vision and renewing hope and renewing strength and renewing authority all across this room. And the ripple effect of your families and your workplace and your ministry in this city and this nation will get the testimony because of the strength that's right here in this room right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for restored strength again. God, I ask for renewed vision one more time. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you're giving dreams that are even beyond what they ever imagined. Father, I thank you. Whatever the enemy has attempted to use to take them out, God, you're using it to bring them to the next level, God. Whatever felt like a setback is going to become a stepping stone to the next season, the next phase of the destiny that you have on them, God. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for the unbelievable future and destiny. God, give fresh vision again in Jesus' name. If you agree with it, if you believe it, somebody give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.